Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a question for you. How many of you got a Valentine's for your enemy this year? Nobody. You know, usually we don't give Valentine's to our enemies, do we? This year, last year in 2016, there were a lot of gifts that were given by different people for Valentine's Day. About $3.2 billion were spent on Valentine's Day in 2016. That includes 180 million cards, 198 million roses, and that doesn't include all the chocolates and various other things that are given for Valentine's Day for people that you love, for you people that you care about. And usually you go and you buy that huge box of chocolates for that loved one, even if it's not the best for them, but you can share with them. You get this big box of chocolates because you love them. You get that dozen roses because you care about them. But not too many people get a Valentine's for their enemies. Seems kind of radical, kind of ridiculous, doesn't it? But Jesus has been saying some very interesting stuff in the Sermon on the Mount as we've been going through it. And Jesus says some interesting words today. He says some interesting words about responding to unloving behavior. About responding to unloving behavior. And then he even goes as far as saying to love your enemies. So, we look at this passage today, and Lord, give us wisdom as we hear your words. Jesus says in Matthew 5:38 and following, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." Well, that first part, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that sounds fair to me. In our culture, we like to be treated fairly. What Jesus is talking about here is a quote actually from the Old Testament, from Leviticus, which was what is sometimes referred to as the lex talionis, or the law of retribution. I'll read from that section in Leviticus 4:19. "If anyone injures his neighbor as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, whatever injury he has been given a person shall be given to him." It seems kind of harsh, but the idea with the law of retribution is that when you have a case, when somebody gets injured, they are to be punished, but not more so than is necessary. See, what would happen is you would have someone who had a family member who got hurt, and so the family member would want to take punishment on another person. It's kind of like, you know, those of you that have daughters. And if you had some guy that messed with your daughter, you want to beat the living pulp out of him, right? Well, this law would prevent the revenge from going too far. So it would be fair. Fair is fair. Well, you get a fracture. You get fractured, then you fracture that other person's arm. Anyway, it's fair is fair. And we like that. We like tit for tat. We like fair is fair. How many of you are familiar with the Gadsden flag? The Gadsden flag is that yellow flag that has a snake on it. And it actually goes way back to 1775. And the flag has this snake on it with seven, I think it was rattles, representing the different colonies. And then later on was added those words, "Don't tread on me," right? Don't tread on me. You can find it on tattoos. You can find it on t-shirts. Don't tread on me. We don't like to be treated poorly. We are not going to be taken advantage of. We hear stories like you might hear in The Count of Monte Cristo. Anybody read or seen the movie Count of Monte Cristo? And he was unjustly put in jail. And eventually he got out, he got a treasure, and he spent then his life taking revenge on his enemies. And admittedly, it's a somewhat satisfying movie to some extent at times, isn't it? Because you see these enemies getting what they deserve. We like fair is fair. So Jesus says these words, "You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Jesus, what are you doing? Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to point out what Jesus isn't saying, okay? To some extent, he's not saying that we shouldn't confront evil. You look at Romans 13, and it speaks about the governing authorities who are put in place to punish evil. There's a point where if you are in an abusive relationship, it doesn't mean you're just going to take the punch in the face. No, you're going to get out of that abusive relationship. But what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about insults. He's talking about things between two people, and one of those things is that slap on the cheek. Nowadays, you'd get in big trouble for slapping someone in the cheek, but in Jesus' day, this was an insult. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, Jesus says, turn to him the other also. What happens when you receive an insult? How do you react? Defensively. At school, when somebody calls you a name, a nerd, a geek, a loser, how do you respond? When someone posts something that is derogatory towards you or something that you value on Facebook, how do you respond? I think there are times when we try to push back. We try to make sure that nobody treads on me. And there are times when it's a matter of our pride or our ego that it's at stake. How are we going to respond to an insult? How about when we have a problem amongst siblings or in a marriage? What happens sometimes when the husband or wife says something insulting to the other person? How does the other person respond? Sometimes what happens is, in a marriage, one spouse says something mean or derogatory, the other person responds, and pretty soon you have this big war that starts. But Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Overlook the insult. These are not easy words. He also talks about the tunic and the cloak. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, the tunic was your everyday thing that you wore, and the cloak was something that was a heavier garment that was used to help keep you warm at night. It was an important part of clothing. And I've honestly wrestled with them myself, this one, as I look at this text. But I believe that it may be talking about a personal dispute. You got this personal dispute, and basically, how are you going to handle this dispute? Again, is it about your pride? Are you going to retaliate over a trivial matter? Or are you going to respond in an opposite way that someone might expect? Are you going to actually go and give the extra? Jesus continues and he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Jesus isn't talking about exercising. He's not saying, you know, if your friend tells you to go, you know. No, he's talking about what is referred to as impressment. Impressment. Now, the situation was this. The Romans had come and taken over and had occupation of Israel at this time. Roman soldiers, according to their dictations, could make one of the people carry their pack for them for a certain length or a certain amount of distance. So when somebody makes you go 1 mile, what is your attitude going to be? Remember, the Jews hated the Romans. They hated the oppression. But what was the attitude going to be? Were they going to grumble and complain and be snarky about it? Or were they going to respond differently? And Jesus says, if someone makes you go 1 mile, maybe with a pack on your back, go the extra mile. Imagine that what that would do. It would surprise the person that had asked you to go 1 mile. They'd wonder, what's up with this person's attitude? Now, how would that relate to us? Well, have any of you ever been through airport security? Yeah, pretty much all of us at some point or another. Have you ever run across a grumpy TSA person? You, get over there in that line. No, you. Hey, spread your arms. It can be a little annoying, and there's a time when you might feel like just yelling back, you're not going to tell me what to do. You know, we can get all grumpy and demanding our rights because our pride is on the line. But how do we respond when somebody asks us to do something, even if they've asked in a really grumpy voice? Are we going to retaliate? Or is there going to be a different attitude? How about when somebody asks you for a loan or money? Jesus says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who should borrow from you. Okay, first begs the question, should we give to everyone no matter what the situation is? Not necessarily. I like what Martin Luther says about this. He comments on this concept of giving, and I think he's got some good insights here. He says this, Christ is not telling me to give what I have to any scoundrel that comes along. We should give to the one who really needs it, not to the one who develops a whim that he would like to take something from us by force, or to those who want to support themselves at other people's expense without working. There comes a point where it's actually not loving to give somebody something. It's not. But again, it begs the question, when we come across somebody who needs something, what is our attitude going to be? Are we willing to let go of whatever item that we have for the sake of another person who is in need? Have we written our name either physically or mentally on everything we own so that we're not willing to let go of it? Or are we willing to give to those who ask? Jesus is giving an example of showing love, even when we're not being treated in a loving way. Jesus was calling his disciples to live radically. You see, this message is for the disciples. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount is for those who are followers of Jesus. Remember earlier, a couple sermons back, we talked about what it meant to be salt and light. Jesus didn't say, try to be salt and light. He said, you are salt and light. This is who you are, and this is what it looks like to be a radical disciple of Jesus Christ, to show radical love in the midst of a world that needs love. And that's where Jesus then says in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. First of all, I want to point out that hate your enemy you will not find in the scriptures. It may be that certain teachers of the scriptures were saying, yeah, it's okay to hate your enemy. Jesus, he's speaking authoritatively. He says, you have heard it was said, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, here's a question for you to wrestle with, and for me to wrestle with. Who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? Jesus, you can't certainly mean that I should show love to a member of ISIS. Jesus, you don't mean I should show love to that person who has treated me absolutely ridiculously wrong, Jesus. You can't mean that. Who is your enemy? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus isn't saying that, well, in order to be saved, you have to do all these things. No, what Jesus is saying is, this is what a son or daughter of the Father looks like. This is in view of the love that Christ has shown for you on the cross. But this is what it means to be a disciple. He says in Matthew 5:45, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Look, folks, Jesus, if he was speaking today, he might say something like this. Look, it's one thing for you to give a valentine to someone who likes you, who loves you, but it's a far different thing for you to show love to someone who hates your guts or who you don't like. You see, Jesus didn't just talk about showing radical love. He demonstrated radical love. The one who said to turn the other cheek was the one who allowed himself to be struck on the cheek for your sake. In Matthew 26, it tells us, then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ, who is it that struck you? Isaiah 50:6 says, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. The one who said, give your cloak as well as your tunic, was the one who allowed himself to be stripped naked and put upon the cross. The one who said to go the extra mile walked the extra mile for you on his way to Golgotha, where there he was nailed and crucified. The one who said, forgive your, or to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the radical love that your Savior showed for you and for me. Listen to these words from Romans 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Our sermon hymn says these words, what wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul? When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. It is in view of this love that Jesus has shown for you, radical love that he has shown, that we show love to others. As that song says, we love because God first loved us. That's from 1 John 4:19. And as baptized people of God, how are we going to show love to those around us? We've been talking about Valentine's Day a little bit, and some of you might know the legends about St. Valentine, but there's one legend about St. Valentine that he was put in prison. He was put in prison for marrying people that the emperor didn't want to be married. He got thrown in prison, and while he was there in prison, one of the individuals who was wanting to prosecute him, this was a man by the name of Asterius, this man by the name of Asterius had a blind daughter, and apparently, according to the legend, Saint Valentine asked the Lord to heal the daughter, and the daughter of this guy that wanted to prosecute Valentine, the daughter was healed. As a result, this man became a believer, became a Christian. We see St. Valentine as one who showed love to those who were unloving to him. And also, he was willing to die because of the love that his Lord had for him. We celebrate Valentine's Day and we think about love and feelings and emotions and chocolates and flowers, but really, love is an action that God showed for you and for me. I just want to share another story with you about radical love that some of you have heard, but it's worth sharing again. How many of you are familiar with Jim Elliot? A couple of you are familiar with Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was actually raised in Portland. Pretty local. Jim Elliot wanted to be a missionary, felt the call to be a missionary, and he and several of his friends decided that they were going to be missionaries to a group of people called the Huarani people in Ecuador. The Huarani people were also known as the Aucas, the Auca Indians, who were known for their brutality. Even at 6 years old, their young boys would be trained how to kill their enemies at 6 years old. They were brutal and feared by all the other different tribes. But Jim Elliot felt the call to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this tribe. So after preparing and gathering supplies and learning what they needed to learn, they had a plane and they took off and they started dropping gifts for the people and they tried to build a connection with them. And over time, they felt like they built a connection. So they landed the plane and they were going to go out and make contact with this tribe. Well, For whatever reason, the tribe was not pleased, and the tribal warriors came out. 10 tribal warriors were sent out, and 5 missionaries, the 5 missionaries, including Jim Elliot, were speared and attacked with machetes. They had guns in their hands, but they chose not to kill. So they died, but the story's not over. The Ecuadorian government, when they found out what happened, was furious, and they wanted to come and just wreak havoc on the tribe. But the widows of the guys that were killed said, no, don't go in and attack the tribes. Don't go in and attack them. Later on, the wife of Jim Elliot, Elizabeth Elliot, prayed to the Lord, and she said, if there's anything you ever want me to do about the Aucas, about this tribe, I'm available. When you pray something, by the way, be prepared that God will answer your prayer. I'm available, Lord. And guess what? About a year or two later, she felt the call with one of the other widows to go and live among the very tribe that killed their spouses. And there, because of the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ, people came to know Jesus, and half the tribe was baptized. And one of the warriors who killed Jim Elliot and his associates then became a pastor for the tribe. This is God's radical love at work. It takes us back to the cross and what our Lord has done for us and the empty tomb. May God bless and guide you this week as you would show love to whom those God has called you to love. This is by His grace. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.